Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to School with the Professor. Joining us is Al Riveron, Supervisor of Officials. Al, if I sat here a year ago and told you within a year you would have non-calls that would be able to challenge, that you would have pass interference, offensive pass interference, able to challenge, would you look at me and say, boy, are you crazy?
I'll give it to you this way, John. I knew this was coming. I just didn't think it'd be so soon. We had the technology, and at the end of the day, it's about getting it right. Now, your question was a year ago. The answer is no. No way. But again, at the end of the day, it's about getting the call right. If we can use technology to get the call right, I'm 100% for it.
Well, the interesting part, because, you know, with the incident down in New Orleans, and I don't want to dwell on that too much. Everybody's been dwelling on it too much. I always thought the easiest thing that could have happened was you getting on with Binovich and just saying, throw the flag. Because I think that's the simplest way it could be. But I know talking to Troy Benson at the Super Bowl, he said, well, the one thing we don't like, we already have somebody at the game if we're going to do that. But that, you know, that would have been an easy way to do that. But is that something that really can't be done or shouldn't be done?
Well, look at the 1 o'clock window, John. Sometimes we have up to 11 games. There's just no way physically that I can be in front of 11 monitors at one time. So, again, we have to find a system that's equitable and fair for both clubs for every single game. Now, again, I can do that in the one-offs, in the primetime games, but at that Sunday afternoon window at 1 o'clock, where, again, sometimes we have up to 10 or 11 games, it's just physically impossible to do that. So I think between the coaches' challenges and the replay official stepping in under the last 2 minutes, I think we'll have it covered.
I know that you said this, and I know Dean Blandino said this, and this is for Dean years ago, that so often the pictures that are there on TV for the fans and everybody else sometimes gives you a better view of what you can do live on the field, because, again, there's so many things, bodies in front, running around, all that stuff, and the TV stuff is so good right now that, again, the technology, you're right, has to be used.
Well, again, it's all about mechanics, and my job specifically is to make sure our guys and gals, John, are at the right place at the right time. If I can get them at the right place at the right time, most of the time we win. However, it's like in basketball. There's a term used, straight lines. You might be at the right place at the right time, but when you have someone that's 6'2", 240 pounds in front of you, your vision's going to be blocked. And when you have that view from overhead, you can see a lot more, no doubt about it.
So you thought that this eventually would happen. How many years did you think it would take for this to happen?
I don't have an answer for that, John. I knew it was coming. I knew it would probably happen in my lifetime. I just didn't think it was this year. But I'm glad it finally happened. And now we'll look at this experiment for a year and see what happens and go from there.
I know that Sean Payton was saying this after the vote came in, that he kind of looks at it as a start. So I guess the next step from the coaches, maybe not the leagues, maybe not the officials, is to try to get even more things to be able to be challenged. Could you envision that happening?
I could. But again, we need to walk before we can run, and we need to see how well we can do this. It's not as simple as let's watch TV and throw it. There's a lot of procedural situations that go on behind the scenes. So we have to make sure we perfect this. We have to make sure that we're consistent. And that's number one, that we're consistent, that we do the same thing in Seattle at 1 o'clock that we do in Miami at 1 o'clock. And I say it all the time because this league, for officiating purposes, it's all about consistency. So we have to make sure that we get this program, what we have now, OPI and DPI, and do it right. We have to do it right before we even think of moving forward.
Is there a fear that the officials may take the tack? It's like it's better just to throw the flag, if there's any doubt, you know, kind of like the thing is like in and out, just throw the flag, and then at least we know we can try to get the right call. Is there a fear of that, or is that something that could happen?
I don't think so, John. Our guys and gals in the field are coached and are trained since they start working Pop Warner football to react on what they see. You cannot expect someone to bail you out. You cannot expect someone to have your back. You are trained, and you have this innate thing that your gut tells you, do it or don't do it. And you have to react based on what you see, which I go back to mechanics. If you're at the right place at the right time anticipating what's about to happen, chances are that we're going to win. But I know a lot of people say that, well, if we have this backup, then we'll be more prone to do this. I really don't think so, because, again, our guys and gals on the field, and I'll tell you from experience, I didn't care if I had a 12-camera game or a 45-camera game. I was going to officiate the same exact way.
So now, as seeing this being implemented right now, what instructions are you going to have for the officials just to try to make sure everything comes out right?
Just do it the same way you've been doing it all along. Don't change your style. Don't change the way you officiate. Don't change philosophies. Don't change mechanics. We will take care of the rest. You officiate the same exact way. And the procedural stuff of reviewing it, we'll take care of behind the scenes in New York. But as far as they're concerned, nothing has changed.
Is there a fear that there will be too many challenge flags thrown by the coaches?
So, John, right now we average just over half a challenge per game by the coaches. We're at a little bit over one challenge per game, and that's inclusive of replay stoppages and coaches. So when I tell you it's over half a challenge, I do believe we'll have more challenges, but I also believe the coaches are going to hang on now towards the end, just outside of 2 minutes, to at least a timeout and a challenge. So I don't know if it's going to be more, because I think they're going to hang on to one just in case till the end. But again, we'll see what happens.
The interesting thing now, you go back to last year, I thought one of the most successful rules was the kickoff rule change, because it cut down on concussions 36%. And again, could it have saved kickoff returns? Because I think most people would like kickoff turns to stay in. But it seemed to, that really seemed to work smooth.
Well, I think it did a lot to keep the kicking kicking aspect in the game. The special teams coaches did a terrific job. They came to New York on a couple of occasions, and really, most of this rule was put in by them. They gave us suggestions. We wrote it up. We finally came to an agreement, and you have to give them a lot of credit to incorporate. We incorporated what they wanted into the rule, but it was basically their ideas that really saved the kicking game.
And it's interesting, because really when you look at the change from the pass interference being able to challenge, it seems like the coach's input was very big in being allowed, getting that to move forward.
No doubt about it. And we listened to the coaches starting back in Indianapolis. Actually, in New York, we spoke to the coaches' subcommittee in Indianapolis. We met with him here for a couple of days. We had some long, long, extensive meetings. Nothing was outside the box. Everyone expressed their ideas. And I think it was a great process, John, in that we listened to everyone for a long time. Everyone had their piece to say. No one held back, and I think we finally came to a good place.
Yeah, and I guess that's good, because again, just having the coaches involved, I mean, they have ideas, and I think for a lot of years they kind of wondered, it's like, okay, are they going to get this in there? But now, I mean, this is a major breakthrough, and again, I think you're right about the idea that the special teams coaches really kind of got that started.
No doubt about it. Special teams coaches, when Troy asked them to come into New York last year, and we locked the door for a whole day, and we just listened, we finally carved it out, I think that moved along now to the process of the PI and the OPI, where we asked the coaches, what do you want to do? And there were some tense moments in there, because everybody spoke up, and like I said, everybody had something to say. Everyone contributed. And as you all know, when you have ownership in it, you feel proud that it's nothing that the league put in, it's something that we put in collectively. Owners, coaches, officiating department, operations department, everyone was involved, everyone had a piece of it, and everyone worked hard to get it done. The competition committee did a terrific job of really, again, locking the door and ironing everything out for a long, long time.
You know, I was kind of intrigued, because as we were looking at, you know, something happening, because I thought Sky Judge really had a good shot, because I really like that idea. You have that eighth official. He can, you know, communicate. But, of course, I guess the problem that you have is trying to find the 17 people that can fill that role and fill it effectively.
Well, it's not only that, John. It's people say, well, let's just put someone up there to watch the ball. It's not that easy. You can't do that. You have to have defined mechanics. So, again, that was one of the ideas. We talked about that. But when you just put someone up in the box, what is he or she going to look at? How are we going to train him? How long are they going to have to make that decision? So again, putting it in the coach's hands, when they challenge, when they feel in their gut that it's an impactful call that they need to stop for them to look at it, now really it's their decision as to what's impactful. And that's the key here, because you and I might be sitting watching a game in the second quarter. On an OPI, DPI, and we're thinking, oh, it's a second quarter. So the official doesn't throw a flag, and they score in that play. And at the end of the game, it's a two-point ball game. We go back and say that's impactful. Now the coach, he has the right, the opportunity to say, that's impactful enough, I'm going to drop a flag. So again, I think we came to a very good place.
I know that there's so much talk about, you know, getting full-time officials, but I don't think anybody recognized how many full-time officials you had in the playoffs. Of the 23 or 25 full-time officials, particularly as you got into the later rounds, Super Bowl, and it was pretty much more than half of the officials were full-time officials. I don't know if anybody noticed that.
I don't remember the exact number, but I do remember in the Super Bowl there was four or five. And again, it's a program that it's only 2 years old, so it's still in its infancy stage. And we're trying more and more. It's about communication with the clubs, communication with the office, communication with the rest of the officials. And the program is evolving. We'll do some other things next year. We'll go out and scout college officials. Prospective officials that we're going to take in the league. We're going to do training of college officials. So again, it's an evolving program, and I think it's only going to get better, John.
No, I would agree, and that's the thing, because I think maybe in one of the championship games there may have been as many as five that were there, because I went through and I charted, okay, who are the full-time officials, who are not, because everybody says, oh, they got to get full-time. Well, you have those in the playoffs, and obviously one of the best because they're in the playoff games.
Correct. And again, when we look at who we put in the postseason, we don't say, well, he or she was a full-time official.
Right.
It just turned out that way. So it tells you that the program is working to a certain extent.
How do you see the number of full-time officials growing? Because, you know, it's not an easy thing. I mean, you can't take a lot of the people out of their other jobs, because then it's going to really, because again, you have to get guys with, 10, 15, 20 years of experience officiating before they come into the NFL.
Well, again, John, that's one of the things that we're currently working through our CBA with the officials union. So we're trying to evolve the program and to make it even bigger and better. But that's a long process now that we're discussing with the officials union.
Helmet hits. What do we see from last year, and what will we see this year?
Well, number one, you have to give credit to the coaches, the players, and even our staff. I mean, I show tape every week of what I call the good and the bad. And there's more good than there is bad. You have to see the transformation of these players and these coaches, what they're doing at this great speed. It is unbelievable. If I showed you tape from 3 years ago to what's going on now, how we have evolved, it's unbelievable. I think the players are doing everything they can. It's being coached out of a game. So I think we're moving in the right direction, but we still have situations, unfortunately, when we have to throw the flag. The competition committee looked over 100 plays that we selected for them to look at, and we decided, is this a foul or not? And those are the plays now that I'm going to show the coaches in the spring, and I'm going to show our officials, so we're all on the same page.
So as in the preseason, naturally, there was a lot of flags on the helmet hits, and there was a cut down, but also there was the warning sent out. You know, this would have been considered a helmet hit. How do you think it'll be handled now in the regular season? Because again, it is pulling back those helmet hits, but how's it going to be as far as the calls when the regular season comes?
The same way, John, we haven't changed philosophies, we haven't changed mechanics. If it's there, we're going to throw it. And one of the things I tell our officials is, see the entire play. It's just like a holding or DPI. If you don't see the whole thing, if you don't see the player lining up the opponent, if you don't see him initiating contact, if you don't see the contact, it's really three aspects: initiating, that body posture, and then making the contact. If you don't see all three, then don't throw the flag. We want to be right. I can say to someone, I can say to a coach, we didn't see the whole thing, as opposed to we were wrong, we should have never made that call. So again, I go back to mechanics, keep going back to that. Us being at the right place at the right time, if we do that, we're going to win.
Did last year resolve the catch rule? Was this a very good year? Because it seemed that there was very limited controversy on catch rules.
I like that limited controversy, John. And we spoke to the coaches subcommittee about that. Really, it was not a topic of discussion. And again, I think the committee did an excellent job. We brought in ex-players. We brought in coaches. We brought in officials. We brought in supervisors. We locked everybody up in New York. And I think we came to a great place. And knock on wood, going forward, I don't see a problem with it. Are we going to have one or two every season? Yes, we are. But that's the nature of our game. But I think at least with that, we're in a very good place. Listen, you saw the stats this year. Quarterbacks were standing up. They were throwing the ball all over the place. We had some very exciting games. I think we broke all kinds of records in scoring. And I think the league, the fans, everyone got what they wanted, and it was exciting football.
In fact, curiously, because the continued challenge we're officiating, you know, particularly now with air raid offense, these fast offenses, you had the four of the best play callers in championship games last year, and a lot of them have imaginative fast-paced things. How tough is that for an official to try to keep up with? Because if things are in the middle of the field, things are moving even faster than before. That's got to be a big challenge.
That's the challenge, and that's it. To stay just slightly ahead of what they're doing. And again, we have to be, it's like a cornerback. You want a cornerback to be at that mesh point. When the ball gets and the receiver makes that cut, you as a cornerback want to be there, John, before the ball gets there. We have to be at the place where it's all going to happen, at the mesh point, before they get there. So what happens? During the week, they're studying. They're watching video. They're probably putting in 35 to 40 hours of getting ready for, let's say, Atlanta and Washington on Sunday. It's not let's show up, have a nice steak dinner, and go work the game. No, you're talking a lot of video work, a lot of preparation. We put the previous week's game to bed probably by Tuesday. And starting Wednesday going forward, we're looking towards next Sunday, because that's what the clubs do. And that's exactly what we do. And we look back only to get better. So in other words, how could we have done this differently, and how are we going to do it differently going forward? But our guys and gals, again, minimum 35 to 40 hours of video work, conference calls, tests over the week to get ready for that three-hour window on Sunday. That's the easy part, that three-hour window on Sunday, believe it or not.
Yeah. The All-Star Cruise, are they going to continue?
When people say All-Star Cruise, John, I don't think that's a fair way of describing it. And we don't put All-Star Cruise in playoffs. What we do is we take our highest-rated officials and then put them in playoffs. Now, one of the things I look at going forward is how can we take some of those officials that qualify for the playoffs, depending on what they where they are on the accuracy ranks, and try to keep as many together from a crew as possible. So again, we're not going to change in the system of what officials qualify for the playoffs, but maybe of the way we group them going into the game.
And then finally, just the whole meeting itself, I mean, and maybe taking all the way back to the combine and maybe before that, was this as challenging or creative and productive as you've been involved in?
Every year it's a new challenge. Every year something else comes up. Like you said, last year was a catch rule. And we started that when we met in New York 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. We started talking about replay really in New York 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. I don't know what it's going to be next year. Hopefully nothing. But every year there's something that comes up. And again, the commissioner said it. We have to stay ahead of what's going on in order for us to be better. We can't be complacent. We can't say, we're okay, we're good. We've got to look forward and we've got to get better. So I look forward to the challenges. Because again, at the end of the day, it's only about getting better.
Al, thank you and congratulations.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.